The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
I'm Kevin Lawless for NBC 5 News, your place.
Yeah, I just heard the Scotty McCreery commercial. It just reminded me of a great way. I'm always wanting to make sure that you know about all the great ways to save money here and have more fun and get more value for your buck. And what we have going on right now is the double weekend, double date for KMED listeners, because Scotty McCreery's in concert Saturday night, September 21st, over at the Expo. And the Rogue Broadband Southern Oregon Brew Fest is Friday and Saturday, September 13th. So what you do is that if you buy four tickets to Scotty McCreery for Saturday, September 21st, you'll get four tickets to Southern Oregon Brew Fest the weekend before. On Friday and Saturday, you get it for free. And the offer is going to end September 11th at midnight, so you want to do this here pretty quickly. You go to theexpo.com and you put four tickets in your cart for Scotty McCreery, starting at just $30 each. And then at checkout, you enter the code DOUBLE, and you'll get your free Brewfest tickets. Five tastes. It's worth it, $80. And Brewfest music both days. There's just a lot going on there, and it's like two for one. It's that two for one, really. The double weekend, double date. Go to theexpo.com and do that. Remember, it is code DOUBLE for the free Brewfest tickets. So pretty cool stuff. Let me go to Wild Sam and Steve. Hello, Steve. How are you doing this morning? Welcome.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the CVCC transmissions.
Yeah, this was, by the way, for people just joining me, Steve, Eric Peters and I were talking about challenges with the CBT, the continuously variable transmissions in the newer cars and trucks, having some durability issues. That's all.
Yes. So back in the late 1950s, my next-door neighbor was building a tote goat. If you remember what tote goats were?
No, I don't, but refresh my memory.
Well, they were just a scooter that was designed to go in the hill country or back into the wilderness.
Oh, yeah. I have seen those. They're really kind of heavier-duty scooters,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was going to build one because they were pretty expensive, and he bought a Salisbury scooter to get that transmission out of it, and all it was two pulleys, one of which had a centrifugal advance, so as the motor speeded up, the weights in the thing would
It would start engaging, and then you start the drive. Yeah, start the drive going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so the other pulley was spring-loaded the other way, and it had a six-horse motor. I mean, these were huge things, and I got one started and drove around the block with it, and a cop caught me. but that all started from 1936, this company, or 1936, this company called the Salisbury Scooter Company.
Now, I think we're having problems with the modern iteration of the CVT is that what you talked about, that was that just a couple of pulleys that would just ride on each other, or was there a belt in between it?
Well, there's a belt in between.
Yeah.
And the belt was like kind of a wide belt, but they seemed to last pretty good. I don't know. You know, they weren't getting the stress of an automobile, you know, on and off, stop and start, all that sort of stuff. But it's the same principle.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the principle, but the way it's been put into practice. And like I said, the transmission rebuilders are telling me that you really, really have to be careful with them, at least in their experience, because they're just seeing a lot of them coming in the shop. That's all. You know?
It's not a belt now. It's a chain.
Well, no, it's a belt, but it's a belt
it's
of
a,
chain
it's
links.
It's a metal.
Yeah.
It's a metal belt, basically. It's a chain, and it's, you know, tapered on the sides to fit. So it's continuously having metal on metal wear, and that's where the fluid problem comes from.
Yeah, and you really have to change it quite a bit more often to keep it going. So I guess, you know, they can be, but, you know, not if you're going to do 40 to 50,000 mile fluid changes. That's not going to work, okay? Hey, Steve, I really appreciate the call. Let me go to a Crazy Gene, because I haven't had enough craziness this morning. I need my dose of crazy. Go ahead. How you doing, Gene?
Well, I was just calling. We're talking about global warming and how everything's gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're another race of beings, it can make complete sense. If you were taking over the world and you didn't really want to deal with humans anymore, You make it as hard as possible on it until they don't even want to live anymore.
Okay, so now you were telling me, though, that you were just reading something about Sumerian texts, that you can buy the Sumerian texts.
That information is from the Sumerian texts. I mean, they've been writing about this race of fourth-dimensional race of beings that's been here for quite some time now, almost 500,000 years. They helped on the creation of mankind.
All right, now that, now see,
they don't like
that,
us anymore.
It's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday. You hit us a little bit early on this one, but those are the lizard people, right? The fourth dimensional people, right?
They're reptiles.
Reptiles. Oh, the reptile. Yeah, the reptile people. I remember back during the Iraq War things when the leftists were saying that that's when you heard that the Bush family was a bunch of lizard people. If you looked at them out of the corner of your eye, then they would turn into lizards.
They've got clever ways of disguising themselves. We can't see them.
Look how easily we're fooled. We voted for him twice, okay? And then we picked on Jeb. You know, it's like, Jeb, yeah, we know you look a little pudgy, but you're actually a lizard guy. Stay crazy, my friend. 722.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon Magazine.
15-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
726. Tim, what's going on with you this morning, huh? What's on your mind?
We had a letter delivered to us here in our trailer park, and I'm guessing it's for the whole Shady Cove area, but to boil the water, something going on with the water system, and I didn't know if you might know anything.
Had not received any notice from City of Shady Cove. That doesn't I'll tell you what, I'll reach out to Mayor Ball, Mayor John Ball, and see if we can find out what's going there. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
But, was there an accident or something going on at the plant that you're aware of? I've not heard anything.
I'm hearing rumors that maybe the pumps aren't working properly and that they're trying to resolve the situation. I saw a post from the City of Shady Cove Water Company, whatever company is, and, well... But anyhow, I just wonder if you do anything.
Okay, I'll try to find out. Like I said, that's the first time I heard of it, but it wasn't something that jumped out on the feeds. But I'll get back to you on it, okay? All righty?
All right, cool. Thanks, sir.
All right. I think during the news, let's see if I can find... What do I do with my phone? Because without my phone, I don't have my contacts. And without the contacts, I can't get a hold of anybody. It must be here someplace. Goodness. Anyway, I've got the contacts here someplace. It is 728. Hold on, I'm coming. I played that for the bumper, the Isaac Hayes song. Of course, it was done by Sam and Dave. I don't know if you heard about this one, but a judge just ordered that President Trump is no longer allowed to use Hold On, I'm Coming at any of the rallies at the event. A federal judge in Atlanta, preliminary injunction yesterday, so he can't use that song, Hold On, I'm Coming, anymore. Presidential campaign for the GOP nominee said that it respects the bench ruling and will not appeal it. The campaign has no interest in annoying or hurting anyone. Now, this has to do with the Isaac Hayes estate. You know, they're looking for some money, I guess, or they're saying no permission. You know, it's this this whole sort of thing. There's a part of me, though, that that just because, wouldn't you love Trump just to have somebody come out and start the crowd singing Hold On, I'm Coming? Would that be the same? I mean, could they actually sue? Could the Isaac Hayes estate sue if someone was to go out there and just start singing it and they start just yelling, Hold On, I'm Coming, and just do that as Trump comes out on stage? Just is it the performance or just the fact that they're even, you know, using any part of the song? But if they're singing it, if they're just singing it as part of the, you know, the crowd, the regular crowd, so they do that? I think that'd be actually kind of fun if they would do that. Yes, we respect the bench until we don't respect the bench, right?
Thought about purchasing a firearm? With background checks now clear.
Changing lives, one smile at a time.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
All right, the Shady Cove water problem that the listener was checking in just a moment ago about, I was able to find this out. City of Shady Cove ends up saying an update for customers in Shady Cove from Highland Water. So it's people who have services from Highland Water. That's the issue in play here. They're talking about experiencing issues with the water supply. They're asking customers to conserve and do not irrigate. Only use water for cooking and cleaning. The temporary water supply is not able to keep up with normal demand. Normal demand from the system is usually 100 gallons per minute in the summer, and the temporary pump can only supply about 70 gallons per minute to the system. And remember that they have also issued a boil water advisory during the repair. So that's what's going on. So, yep, there is an issue there, but that's only if you have services from Highland Water. Okay, there we go. Francine's here. Hello, Francine. How are you doing this morning? Welcome.
Well, good morning, Bill. I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Spewing water in my garden, you know. But
good.
So, yeah, I have an alternative song for Trump. I mean, there's so many. He can just move on. He doesn't have to stick with any song if they try to pull it. I think Chambers Brothers, Time Has Come Today.
Time Has Come Today. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Tick, but, tock, you know. Tick, talking. Hey. Right. I'll have to find
that's
that.
That's the one.
I'll have to find that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, the other thing I had to ask you, though.
Yeah.
How about your power? I know that Pacific Power is coming into town next week, and the president of Pacific Power is going to be there to talk about the accountability and just, of course, I don't know. Maybe what happens is that if you're the president of Pacific Power, all right, you're going to have to just go in front of them. They're going to have to scream and throw tomatoes at you. You're just going to have to take it, right?
Well, you know, Bill, it hasn't gone out for like over a week now, and I've been afraid to call and say anything to jinx it. But but you know, I would love to ask these people. You know, when there is a power outage and we call up, and they always say, "Oh, it's under investigation." What really made it go out? You know, the squirrels. I'm sorry, I'm not buying the squirrels anymore.
You're not?
No.
Huh.
No.
Well, I'd be willing to bet you one of the challenges is that they may not even know. Because I think the call center, most of the time when I have called the Pacific Power call center, most of the people I've talked to them, and they were over in Idaho. Actually, they weren't even, you know, really close to it. I guess it's a matter if the information ends up filtering up to them, if for them to know.
That's really possible, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to say that perhaps some of the repairs they've done are working, you know, because, you know, no jinxing here, but I haven't lost power for over a week, maybe 10 days even. I'm not sure. I'm not counting. You know what I mean?
But also do keep in mind that we haven't had incredibly unseasonable temperatures either, which we're about to head into, we're going to be 102 today, as an example.
Well, yeah, they said we're going to be 101 yesterday, but it never happened either.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
But, you know, who knows? I mean, you know. I would love to talk to those people, but I'm probably not going to go to any meetings with them because it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
to them, you know?
Let's just say, man, I'm just wondering, though, how much of – I would have thought that most of the problematic infrastructure would have been replaced when Talent mostly burned down 4 years ago.
You would have thought that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So maybe that's what they're going to be. Now, here you go. Here's another thought process. Maybe it's not old lines that we're talking about. Maybe it's the newer lines that are of lower quality, or maybe some of the equipment of lower quality. Because, I mean, I say this with all seriousness, because what is something that we've been talking about a lot, the quality of replacement parts that a circuit breaker today may not be as good as a circuit breaker that was purchased 20 years ago with the same rating. Could they be dealing with the same kind of thing?
Parts, they're ordering all the parts from China just in case Trump gets elected and puts tariffs on them, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like the cars, you know?
Yeah, does Pacific right. Power go on to eBay and say, okay, we can't find a transformer, so we buy one from, you know, North Korea. You know, you get it shipped over, you know, black market or something.
Possible, Bill.
Anything's possible. Probability, I don't know about that. Thanks, Francine. Francine, rather. 736.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars. And why? It starts with an overall knowledge of the area. But even more importantly, a local agent is a friend and neighbor who cares about the community just as much as you do. In the Medford area, that'd be my good friend, Jerry.
250, say the keyword, save now. And do it now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Save money, same service with Pure Talk.
Hi, I'm Lamont from Orleans, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
20 before 8. Appreciate you being here. on Wheels Up Wednesday. We also talk with Secretary of State candidate and current state senator, outgoing state senator, Dennis Linthicum. Dennis, welcome back. Always good hearing from you. How are things?
Good morning, Bill. It's good to be here this morning.
I'm going to ask you about the fire. How's the fire looking over, was it Copperfield Fire, or what's the fire that's burning over in Klamath County?
It's called Copperfield. We got a report from Mariana Ruiz Temple. She's the state fire marshal, and she sent a note out that said it was 56 acres in size. Mm-hmm. And seven primary residents had been impacted in a handful of outbuildings. And although if you look at Firewatch, it doesn't look like it's got good containment. The fire lines and dozer lines around it are really good. So they expect, as the weather has been, the weather's cool overnight, especially in this area, you know, we're at 4,500 feet or higher. And so it cools down a lot overnight, and that's good for taking some of the heat out.
That's good to know. And I was a little concerned because it wasn't too far away from where you live in Klamath County. You know, you talk about 15, 16 miles away, but when you get some serious fire, that can get sucked up a lot of times. You can't. It's small comfort, I guess, is what I would say.
And there was no lightning in the area. So what people are really asking questions about, we don't yet have answers to, is this a homeless camp fire? Was this a drug lab, you know, fire? Was this a marijuana farm fire? You know, nobody quite knows where it came from. And it'll be interesting. Accidental fires, you know, typically don't just erupt in the forest. What's interesting is the Forest Service, the interagency department out in Lakeview, actually watches thunderstrikes. And a thunderstrike, they know that negative lightning bolts cause more fires than positive lightning bolts. And they know that there may have been bolts in that area. You know, when we have a lightning storm come through, we'll have 3,500 hits somewhere or more, sometimes in the multiple thousands of hits, tens of thousands of hits. And they will know that area that got struck with negative lightning strikes, and it can be just smoldering under the pine needles that are so heavily embedded in the forest, and sure, that can then erupt into the real deal with a little bit of wind. And so we're all wondering what have they discovered? What do they find out? How do they marry that to the interagency lightning strike maps, et cetera?
I didn't realize that there was a polarity, or that there were differences in polarity in lightning. And here it is. I've been around 60-something years. I never knew this. So sometimes you have a negative. I was always under the impression that the earth being the ground was always the negative, and that it was always, of course, negative flows to positive, and that the strike actually starts from the ground going up to the cloud is the way it was explained to me. But I guess I was wrong about that. Okay.
Yeah. And that's what you, when you look at lightning strikes, sometimes you've seen slow motion video where you see it coming up from the earth and headed into the sky. And it's kind of fascinating to see lightning in slow motion, because we don't really ever experience it like that. To us, it's just a lightning bolt or whatnot, and so it's really a fascinating setup they have at the interagency office in Lakeview.
Okay, well, hopefully they'll get things under control and get that lined out, and life is good. Okay, we'll just we'll call that and just have some prayers for some control of that. And I think that's probably where some of the haze is that we're seeing here in southern Oregon, probably coming over from that fire, I would imagine.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Dennis, wanted to talk a bit about, naturally, we've talked, you know, week after week about the run for Secretary of State, and I think you've made a really good case of why it is so important to get you in there as Secretary of State, especially when it comes to the voting rules and the way that elections are run, because arguably, I know that the mainstream media really doesn't want to look at this, but Vote by mail, a total vote by mail system, and especially vote by mail in which we never really clean off inactive voters from the roll, is just a recipe for all sorts of potential hinky. But I think that there's just kind of a push right now that there's a lie we're all supposed to believe that everything's okay. Is that a fair assessment of really where we find ourselves right now? And to raise any questions about the way we run elections, well, that makes us election deniers, you know, somehow. That kind of
right,
thing.
Right. And the election denier routine is the classic, you know, first of all, an election happened. That doesn't tell, you know, I never denied the fact that election happened, right? Mm-hmm. But the news media loves to categorize me as an election denier. And I'm just saying, everyone knows that there's election fraud out there. Maybe small amounts, maybe large amounts.
But what they always claim then is that it's never enough to have affected the outcome. And how do you know? And that's my question. Right. And I would say this if I were a Democrat sometimes, and you wonder how these Republicans sometimes in some counties just get these amazing wins. I mean, we just never know. And
without validation,
yeah,
you don't ever know. And remember, you know, for the election being the sole source of our, quote, democracy, and preserving our democracy means preserving the storyline, doesn't really fly, because they had these challenges happened with Gore. They happened with Clinton, Hillary Clinton.
In fact, I'm not even really sure, you know, back on the Al Gore Bush election, what was that, 2000, I think is when that happened, right? Was it?
Yeah, I don't have the number in the, you know, top of my mind.
Yeah, well, the reason I was getting...
It's happened our entire adult life.
Yeah, we've had issues about, and then we have judges ended up parsing about chads and hanging chads. That was the deal with the, the Bush-Gore election. But those were elections that were held in place, in person. At least you knew who they were when people were going and voting. And now we
right.
just...
Well, there was physical evidence.
Yeah.
There was a ballot that was punched, and the Chad, the punch out, didn't drop away. And so it was hanging there. And it's actually kind of ridiculous to say, well, I wonder if they meant to punch that, you know, because they didn't punch it all the way through. It's kind of a funny... Again, this is the intricate detail of law versus common sense. And so I'm arguing that we just need common sense. We need the ability to freely discuss these things, talk about these things. We can't be overconsumed with dismissing things. Claims, whether they're false or true, will determine over time. The claims about COVID, we have the ability to determine over time. The claims about...
And look at what we were sold on the COVID shutdowns here. They ended up just being another of the big lies we were supposed to believe. It's just astounding, isn't it? When you look at the what we did to ourselves, or what we allowed to be done to us. Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
We allowed the government to destroy thousands of independent, typically small businesses. You know, the big box stores stayed open. The big box stores were essential. But mom and pop, they couldn't go open their little shop because, oh, no, that would be what? A mass spreader event?
Yeah, going to church is deadly. Burning down the city for a Black Lives Matter protest, that's perfectly peaceful and okay and healthy, right? It's different.
Right. And so all of these things are just absurd on their face, and yet the public keeps allowing the know-it-alls in government to push us around. And so I'm asking people to think hard and long about the issues, even the ballot measures that I wrote about. You know, I have to wear two hats. I wear a hat as a candidate, and I wear a hat as a senator. And I thought, you know, it would be good for people to see my thoughts on the ballot measures and know that this is the same intuitive, common sense, logical, and reasonableness that I will bring to the Secretary of State's office.
Okay, now let's talk about this latest newsletter of yours, because you're saying, essentially, you're saying that we should be voting no on all these measures. Every single one of these measures, right? Every one of them.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
115, right. 116, 117, 118, and 119. Now, I wanted to start with the one that kind of came out of left field at me. Because no on measure 115. Now, 115 is the one about the impeachment measure. People have been talking for a long time that we have no way to really impeach the governor, as an example, if the governor misbehaves. And I think a lot of this drive ended up starting post-COVID with Governor Brown and the executive order. You know, even right now we're suffering under the, you know, executive order-itis of the climate-friendly, equitable community. So what is wrong with measure 115? This one surprised me that you came out against this one. Why?
Well, it's about actually more than it's not with regard to the governor type thing. It's with regard to every single elected officer.
Oh.
And so now that's an interesting spin on it. We have the potential and the numbers, it's a 2/3 majority number. So this means the Democrats almost have 2/3 majority, and the public ought to recognize this 2/3 number matches the quorum number, and we've almost pushed the quorum rule into the dustbin of constitutional history by forcing 10 Republicans off the ballot during this election season. Their constituents aren't forcing them off the ballot. Their constituents aren't denying them the right to access their office.
No, the regime is denying them the right. The regime, the Oregon state regime, is denying them the right to do this. Okay? That's
exactly right.
And the Oregon state regime is controlled largely by Democrats, almost entirely by Democrats. That's just the way it is.
And this 2/3 number, this ought to just kind of flash warning signs in people's heads, because if we lose another couple of seats, we will be at the 2/3 number, Democrats over Republicans, 2/3 to 1/3.
So am I to assume then that the way you would look at Measure 115, which would allow impeachment, is that the 2/3 majority required would mean that the only people who will ever be impeached are not Democrats, but are Republicans being impeached by the other 2/3 majority.
That's correct.
Ah.
And this is the weaponization of these political rules. Look at what's happening at the federal level. Trump made a phone call, quote, the perfect phone call. And they impeached him for that, yet Biden was on TV telling the story about he told him, look it, I want this stopped or I'm going to withhold $1 billion. And he did it. He just snapped his fingers and it's done. And it's on TV. It's recorded. He was vice president at the time. He did not have the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet nobody will even sniff under the covers on this one. And so this is weaponization of the legal process.
All right. So that's why you say no on 115, because the impeachment is just going to be a political weapon if it were to be used. It would be used always, given the political reality, Democrats against Republicans, not the opposite. Right.
That's right.
So you'd have a lot of Republicans that are thinking, yeah, we should have been able to impeach Governor Brown, you know, back during COVID time. No, it's not the way it would be used.
If there was that much momentum, we should have been able to recall Governor Brown. And so it turns out we didn't really have momentum. People were still believing the COVID, propaganda, and they didn't recognize that they were being manipulated by Facebook. We now know Facebook was manipulating the responses, and we know Twitter. You know, Elon Musk stood up to Twitter at the time. Facebook has just been playing along and making billions off of the data that they're harvesting from you and I, and following the AG's recommendations coming directly from Garland's office.
All right, fair enough. So no on 115. Let's talk briefly about the other ones here, too. Like you say, you say vote no on all of them.
The one that's most interesting is the one actually ranked choice voting. It is really fascinating because the ranked choice voting issue comes up as a legal quandary because there's an ORS 254.485 that says ballots shall be tallied and returned by precinct. So it's a precinct level balloting count total and return. And you can, it turns out, because of this ranking and choosing across all the different mathematical possibilities, that you cannot do ranked choice validating and come up with a valid ballot.
Well, I just look at it, you know something? I just want to go to the simple side of this, Dennis, is that nobody can really explain properly how ranked choice voting it operates. Yeah. It is so complex. It is designed to confuse. Yeah, you would sit there and pick like a first place choice and a second place choice, a third place choice. But essentially, a lot of people with first place you could just see, you will see times with ranked choice voting that you won't know who actually won the ranked choice vote for weeks. For weeks right. afterwards, as it gets counted and recounted. And then on top of that, you will, in many cases, have maybe the second or third choice end up winning the election who didn't get the most votes to start with. It's just insane what they're trying to do with this election system, as if mail-in by voting isn't stupid enough. This is incredible.
Right. The point I make in my newsletter, I don't go into details about balloting by precinct, but in my newsletter, I just make the point that you can't choose between, you know, jicama and an avocado and a white oak tree. There's just no way for anybody to weigh the possible solutions to political problems by ranking these various objects or entities, because everybody's got a subtlety of opinion on whether it's sanctuary city or immigration policy or criminal activity. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the ability for a mathematical model to come to, well, who the people really want is they want the giant grapefruit.
Well, they wanted the third place voter, because the third place voter, there were enough people who voted third place for this guy, and then eventually they threw everybody else out. In other words, you have to get over 50% before someone wins. It's nuts, okay?
Well, and what you have to do is you have to make a choice. And if you can't make a choice, then that's your problem. It's not the state's problem. It's not the legislature's problem.
Yeah, this is just another way to play hinky with the election process. Yet something else to make it, even less transparent, more difficult to understand. It's bad enough that we have no chain of custody when it comes to mail-in balloting like we do right now. Okay, so no on that one. The legislator payroll equity measure, what was that all about there? I didn't even hear about this one until you put that out.
Yeah, well, see, the legislators know that they can't say, yes, we deserve a raise, because their rankings are in the bucket. They just, nobody likes how any of them are performing. They've got this.
Okay, so what would the payroll equity do? Would it then put in some formula that they get raises all the time?
Well,
without?
No, it actually hands it off to a commission. Oh. So now that the legislature and the governor's office get to pick the commissioners, and then the commissioners set the pay for the legislature.
I can't say it's all that different from what happens with the Bolstein of elected officials in Oregon right now. You know, those commissions are according to the rankings, because everything is always leapfrogging. Every city, state, county ends up leapfrogging over the others for their pay.
What they typically do is they do a comparative analysis. Over in Klamath County, we're a long way from the I-5 corridor, and we have a lower cost of living. We've got lower home prices. We've got lower grocery prices. Well, the grocery prices are probably the same because of transportation costs to get over to this.
Yeah, I get it. I would figure here, Dennis, all we need to do to make things really fair is that everybody in the entire state should just get paid county commissioners get paid. How about that? All right.
Well, county commissioners go through the same rigmarole. They compare. Let's see. There's three commissioners in.
Don't get off in the weeds. Yeah, we don't want to get off in the weeds. We're trying to keep it simple. Dennis, we got to keep it simple. Okay. All right. Yeah. Don't get into the weeds on me on this one. All right. So we got to go no on this. If they want to beg for a pay raise, if the legislators want more money, they have to just fall on their sword over it. Okay. So payroll equity, no on that. Rank choice, no on that. 3% gross sales tax. This is the one that would be the one they give us back the money, right? Everybody gets a check each year, right?
Yeah. And this one's really, really potentially dangerous because it's a tax on a tax on a tax. The raw materials get taxed at 3% gross sales. And then any value added, whether it's technology or innovation or just personal assembly and labor time, all that value added gets a 3% tax on top of the manufacturer's 3% tax or raw material 3% tax. And then as it gets packaged and sent about, all the costs associated with transportation, because those are all gross sales numbers.
Well, yeah, and the thing, ultimately, though, and the simplest way to look at this, Dennis, they're not taxing profit. They're taxing money going through a place. So every place that, whether it's cars, whether it's grocery stores, high volume, low profit, it makes it more difficult. Look at what happened when we did the original 1% sales, a corporate activity tax. What happened with Bi-Mart? They shut down all of their pharmacies because lots of money went through the pharmacies, but not a lot of profit came out of it. They just closed it. Remember that?
And the other thing they did is they promised under that CAT tax that it would go to education. And, quote unquote, they kept their promise. It did go to education, but they took out the equal amount of general fund money to drain the education general fund money by the same amount that got collected on taxes. So where the public thought, oh, this is going to help education, it didn't help education at all. It just saddled everybody in the state of Oregon with a new tax.
Yep, just another gimmick here. And finally, see if there is a couple of other ones. Oh, this is one that hasn't gotten a lot of play, though. But this is 119 about the union labor. I guess this is about the public unions trying to shut up owners of the of companies, right?
Well, this is in order to get a permit to operate a cannabis business, the cannabis owners must remain neutral regarding communications for employees forming a union. In other words, you can't say anything good about the union. You can't say anything bad about the union. Now, in truth, nobody says anything good about the union.
But this is just another way to shut up owners, though. The whole, what is it about the owners that their First Amendment right to say something about something affecting their business should go away because of the vote of the people? Huh?
That's right. And once this gets in place, if the public falls for this and says, yeah, that's a good idea, then pretty soon it'll be, the Hallmark card store the owners can't voice an opinion about, a union, formulae between the employees. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Everybody should be able to share their opinion. This is part of the concept.
Oh, I know. But, Dennis, we're at the point where, especially with leftist control of Oregon, First Amendment freedom of speech and a rigorous debate about things, that is oh so 1995-ish, okay? That line of thinking. Well, this is another reason, though. We are using our First Amendment right to say no on all of these ballot measures. Don't even think about it. Every single one of those ballot measures is not worth your vote, okay? And so we're going to try to make this really easy. Remember how I talk about we want to make this easy? No.
Right.
All right.
Let's make it easy.
You say no to all the ballot measures, and then you say yes to electing State Senator Dennis Linthicum to be the next Secretary of State and tell your friends to do that. Okay? How about that?
Yeah. And there's there's three offices that everybody considers kind of the Democrat majority to be this phalanx of unbeatable armor that we're facing, but they're protected by three distinct executive offices: the Treasurer's Office, the Attorney General's Office, and the Secretary of State. And those guys, in my mind's eye, I picture them as they're on horseback, you know, controlling the influx of information that essentially protects the phalanx that's marching through the community.
Yeah. You see, you're put them on horseback. That's way too revolutionary. I just look at them as a bunch of tyrants that are sitting there with spears to poke in our butt. Okay. And they need to be railroaded out of town. Okay. So
you have three opportunities. You got Boquist, Lathrop, and Linthicum. Vote for Treasurer, Attorney General, and Secretary of State.
Pretty important because, you know, you have this single-party control of the state of Oregon. You need some other control on the other side to get some balance to it, all right? Dennis, good talk as always. ElectDennis.com. Find out more, and we will talk to you next Wednesday, okay? You be well.
You bet. We will see you in the morning.
All right,
see
thank you
then. Bye-bye.
State Senator Linthicum running for Secretary of State on Skype. It is 7 minutes after 8. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
If you really want to enjoy your open-air spaces, talk to American Industrial Door. They're an authorized dealer for Terra Screen Systems. From porches, patios, and gazebos to restaurant seating areas to warehouses, these custom-made motorized screens and vinyl panels are a permanent solution to keep pest, wind, and rain out so you can enjoy outdoor environments in peace. Go see all the possibilities Terra Screen Systems have to offer at American Industrial Door, with showrooms on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas Road.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
He actually flew a drone in the hours before the attack.
New details.
The gunman searched online for events of both Trump and Joe Biden.
New voices.
I can't wait to debate the guy.
We should be talking about public policies that matter.
New developments.
The Israeli Defense Forces announcing the rescue of one of the hostages.
Moscow has declared a state of emergency in the Kursk region.
Ukraine is proving that it can indeed restore justice.
Same source.
Our future and our freedom is at stake in this election.
News Talk 106.3. KMED.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Coming up after the Kim Commando Digital Update, we'll also have some town hall news, too. We're going to have Captain Bill Simpson back on. We're going to talk a little bit about the latest and the... And I know some people are saying, hey, you know, give up this talk about the Klamath Dam removal. You know, I know it's done. It's been a fait accompli. But the thing is, what is astounding is the gaslighting that we've had from our area and state media and just talking about all the happiness about what's going on. So Mark dropped by the station yesterday, listener Mark, and he brought this. I'm holding it up to the Facebook Live camera. This is, about a half gallon of Klamath River water that was gathered not at the shore, but right in the middle of the channel. He actually waded out to the middle of the channel and got this water from the river flow at Happy Camp, several miles away from the dam removal. And as you can see, it is a chocolate brown, pretty ugly, and it's just filled with clay particles from the dam removal. In fact, I will show, I'm going to take my 800 lumen light, I'm going to put it right through it, and if you're looking on Facebook, you'll see it does not penetrate. You cannot see out the other side. That's just it. And this is the world where we find ourselves in, and we're being told and gaslit time and time again that, oh, the Klamath is running free, and the fish will be returning. Not with that kind of flow, it's not going to be returning. We'll talk with Bill about that and a bunch more coming up. And you're on the Bill Myers Show.